This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Pamela Geller. She is a prominent blogger, and you can find her work at atlasshrugs.com. She's also the co-author of the brand new book, The Post-American Presidency, The Obama Administration's War on America. Her co-author is Robert Spencer. Pamela has also been very active in the fight against the construction of a new Islamic cultural center slash mosque very near the site of where the Twin Towers were brought down by Islamic radicals on 9/11 nearly 9 years ago. And Pamela, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
One of the major themes of your book is how you believe the Obama administration basically doesn't see America as special or great in the world, and he's trying to perhaps lift up the rest of the world and in the process bring America down as part of his vision. How do you believe this fight over the mosque and the position the president's taken on it fits into that narrative?
Well, I think that the Obama administration is abdicating, relinquishing American sovereignty to international bodies. And clearly, in terms of his involvement, his position on the mosque, which does not reflect the sentiments, the pain that it's causing of the American people, is once again in line with those of our enemies and not our allies. And I say post-American because he does not believe in American exceptionalism. I don't know that he's raising up the rest of the world. I wouldn't call it that as much as redistributing the wealth on a global scale. But he doesn't believe in American exceptionalism. When queried in Europe about his, if he believed in it, he said, as much as the Brits believe in British exceptionalism and Greek exceptionalism and French exceptionalism, in other words, nobody is exceptional. And this is an affront and a refutation of the very founding principle of America, which was individual rights. Everything that we became, everything noble and just, everything that we achieved was a fidelity to that principle. And American exceptionalism translates into individual exceptionalism. And he's a collectivist. He's a statist. And he's really presiding over the decline of America, actually aiding and abetting of it. This mosque at Ground Zero is deeply, deeply offensive. That building, you know, they like to say it's 600 feet or it's two blocks. Or, that building is Ground Zero. That building was partially destroyed by the plane, by the landing gear of the plane that hit the towers. That building isn't near Ground Zero. That building is Ground Zero. And to build a 15-story mega mosque looking down on the cemetery of that terrible attack is grossly insensitive, deeply humiliating, and deliberately provocative. And so the president coming in and saying that it's a religious liberties issue is absolutely false. It's a dishonest argument. Nobody's invoking the First Amendment. It's not a religious liberties issue. It is a compassion issue. It's a common decency issue. There are mosques all over New York City, hundreds, thousands across America. Why there? Why build a giant, monstrous structure there? Why there? I mean, it's the height of insensitivity. And if we were to believe this dishonest imam, which has been, as you could see, I posted new audio yesterday where he says America has more blood on her hands, Muslim blood on her hands, than Al-Qaeda has innocent non-Muslim blood on its hands, and a series of other outrageous quotes. If he was honest that this was about healing and outreach, well, clearly, it's had the opposite effect. So if you're really interested in healing and outreach, you would withdraw the mosque, and they have no intention of doing any such thing.
Pamela, how do you expect this to play out? Obviously, popular sentiment in New York and around the country is on your side. However, based on what the president has said and certainly what Mayor Bloomberg and the Planning Commission in New York have said, they seem to want to give it the green light. So how do you expect this to play out?
Well, it's not. They're not on my side. I'm on their side. This is not me. This is the American people. And the elites don't, we don't serve the elites. We don't serve Obama, and we don't serve Bloomberg. They serve us. So who cares? Seriously. That they're serving their own personal agenda. Bloomberg is running in 2012, and this is a politically correct thing for him to do. Well, I can assure you he just buried his chances. As for Obama, his agenda is painfully clear. He's an Islamophilic president. He favors Islam over all other religions. Nobody expected him to take the decent position the humane position, the American position. And so he exposes himself yet again for what he is. And I think once again what we'll see is we'll see a rout. Hopefully, if it's not too corrupt, the electoral system in November, we'll see a rout. People really are waking up. This issue, interestingly enough, for some reason, I don't know why, has just resonated so with the American people. They're shocked. They're shocked at the callousness, they're shocked at the coldness, and they're shocked at the radical intolerance exposed and exhibited towards their pain. It's radically intolerant how the Imam, Daisy, and the Gamal brothers have been casually dismissive of the grief, the real grief that this idea has caused. And so I think that it woke up a lot of people to the nonsense, the interfaith nonsense, which is really only a one-way street. There is no reciprocity. We don't run the Danish cartoons. We don't say Muhammad on Comedy Central. We don't put Muhammad in a huggy bear. This is all do not insult Islam. But if we have a grievance, if we have a pain, then we're racist, Islamophobic, anti-Muslim bigots. It's nonsense.
Just a couple minutes left here with Pamela Geller. The book is The Post-American Presidency. And Pamela, obviously, the episode we've been talking about here with the mosque near Ground Zero is emblematic of your larger theme in this book. Explain in a little more detail what type of world do you think President Obama wants, and what tools do you think he's likely to use to try and get there?
Well, I think the first part of the book, of course, is the indoctrination of Barack Hussein Obama. It's important to understand the prism in which he sees the world, what shaped him. I mean, he did grow up in Jakarta, in Indonesia, a Muslim country from the ages of 6 to 12. That absolutely shaped him. When I say he has sometimes a third world view, I think that it stems from that. Clearly, we know that his mother was a communist and met his father in a Russian language class at the height of the Cold War. He studied Quran. He studied Islam. You know, his religion on his school record said Islam. And so that definitely shapes his worldview. When he got to Hawaii, Hawaii at the time had just become a state only 2 years prior to his birth. So there was a lot of hostility on the island towards the mainland. That definitely shaped him. And his every allegiance, his every alliance is nefarious, from the obvious Bill Ayers, the terrorist Bill Ayers, and Reverend Wright and Louis Farrakhan, to his deep affection and closeness with Rashid Khalidi, who was the leader of the PLO in the 70s at a time when the PLO was the most brutal and horrific terrorist group. Now we see that Rashid Khalidi is raising money for a jihad warship flotilla to provoke the Jewish state into defending herself so that it could be a PR disaster and world condemnation and all this. And what does he name the jihad flotilla, this Rashid Khalidi? He names it the Audacity of Hope. And you cannot tell me that it didn't have the imprimatur of Obama on that. They are friends. He would not invoke the name of Obama's book if he didn't have Obama's okay. We're seeing this over and over again. What does it bode for America? It bodes most ill. And what people have to do is they have to remove his hammer in November. They have to. It's not even a matter of right or left. I'm an independent. I'm a Republican. You're an American. And you have an anti-American president in the White House. I don't care how harsh that sounds. Sometimes the truth is painful. Like, I'm always accused of all these things because truth is the new hate speech. And you can avoid reality, but America cannot avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. Hence this president. And while they were sold a bill of goods in the run-up to the election because the man was branded and marketed like Coke, and all of these things that I exposed, the contributions from Gaza, tens of thousands of dollars from a Hamas area in Gaza, and millions of dollars from foreign countries, which you cannot take a dime. You're not allowed. There were so many explosive stories that I and other people had broken, the media refused to touch in probably what was the greatest act of perfidy in American history. They did not vet this candidate, and we rely on our free press to vet our candidates. And America, at this point in time, is like Helen Keller, and somebody moved the furniture. Well, my book provides a light switch. You need to know why what's happening is happening. This book will answer, it will connect the dots, so to speak, and you'll be armed going forward because we're in a long war here. In the information battle space, in the war of ideas, and all the bullets and bombs and bloodshed comes as a result of what goes on in the information battle space, in the war of ideas, and everybody has to fight it.
Pamela, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Pamela Geller is the co-author of The Post-American Presidency, The Obama Administration's War on America. She's also at atlasshrugs.com. That's her blog. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.